The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session. Pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. You may be seated. First case on our calendar is 99-23-16, State of Ohio versus Robert Lozada. Ms. Norman.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, Ms. Olan. May it please the court, my name is Kelly Norman. I'm an assistant prosecuting attorney in Portage County, Ohio, and I represent the state of Ohio in this matter. There are times when a police officer, during the course of a valid traffic stop, has valid legitimate reasons for placing a motorist in his patrol car. And under those circumstances, a police officer is justified in believing to be prudent to pat that person down for weapons.
What was it about this occasion that required an officer? What was the valid reason for wanting to place this defendant?
Well, in this case, there were three people in the car. There were two passengers in the back seat and the driver. And the
not uncommon. That would not be uncommon.
Yes, there, and, the two passengers were in the back seat. And the police officer said that he wanted to get the driver away from the other two passengers in case there was something unusual in the car that might be there, the driver waking that. And also there was a noise from the traffic, and the traffic itself on the turnpike, which posed a problem when he was trying to radio in the information about Mr. Lozada's license and registration.
Well, now, wouldn't the standard procedure be to secure the driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, go back to your cruiser, and roll up the window, answers to those questions.
In some officers do that, and in some circumstances that would be okay, but there are other times when an officer believes that he needs to have the driver in the bathroom to show car in order
okay,
to
okay, but what specifically compelled the officer here to believe that he needed to extricate this citizen from his car and bless him with his reason?
Just the reason given, there's no reason that's needed to ask the driver to leave this car. That's constitutional under Pennsylvania versus NIMS. The question is whether he had a valid reason to place him in his patrol vehicle. And the reasons he gave were to separate him from the other two and get him away from the noise of traffic. In this case, I don't think it came out of the motion to suppress, but it was in one of the briefs, and it was also in it was in the motion to suppress itself, but not the hearing, that Mr. Lozada did not have a driver's license. He actually had a temporary permit. And I don't think there's a photo of him, so that might have been an extra reason for him. If that wasn't a part of the testimony, that he was who he said he was.
Counsel, wouldn't you agree that on the turnpike or on any busy highway, when you ask a citizen that you stop for speeding, to get out of the vehicle, you subject them and the officer to a good deal of danger with respect to oncoming traffic?
I would agree, and there's also the U.S. Supreme Court authority that says asking the driver to exit the vehicle also increases the safety of the police officer. You can see the actions of the driver, cleaning bolsters in the driver's clothing that might indicate that there are weapons there.
Was there any testimony here indicating that there was anything unseemly or suspicious about this driver or this passenger?
Not. In this particular case, but there may be circumstances when a police officer does have substantial reasons, legitimate reasons to place a driver in his patrol vehicle, and in those circumstances, a police officer is certainly warranted to pat that person down for weapons. The person is in handcuffs, they're not under arrest, and possibly his back or his side to the driver on the radio in that information. And under a Fourth Amendment analysis, the court has to weigh the safety of the police officer and the safety of the public against the intrusion of the citizen. And in certain cases, the...
Counsel, I guess where I'm going is it is envisioning a society in which motorists driving how many miles an hour above the speed limit here?
I can handle it.
6 miles an hour above the speed limit. I'm going to say this is a father with a wife and two kids.
Did Steve talk to you about it?
Then envision what happens. Ask to exit a vehicle. The wife and kids stand there and watch while the father's hat is in place in the back. Is that really necessary?
Placement into a police cruiser is certainly not going to be necessary in the majority of traffic stops. And under only limited circumstances, would such a placement be warranted? And the trial court would be in a position to evaluate those reasons and make the decision. The proposition of law would limit the placement into the vehicle. Not the pat-down, but the placement into the vehicle. And if the police officer knew that that was going to be scrutinized, that would certainly limit his choice.
If we adopt the proposition of law, you would like us to adopt it. Can't you envision that it might become commonplace for officers who might want to be doing gratuitous searches for drugs to just as a matter of practice? Every speeding stop, every traffic stop, every time, then ask the driver to exit the vehicle because under the proposition of law you would have us adopt, then you get a free pat down.
I don't see that happening. What I see now is there's a confusion in the state and in the district, and that could be happening already where some police officers are placing people in the back of the vehicle, patting them down. The proposition of law would limit that, which would limit it to only valid placements in the back of the patrol vehicle. And that replacement is determined by the trial court.
And what would be the standard?
The standard would be under totality of the circumstances whether the police officer's reasons for placement of the motorist into the back of the vehicle were legitimate for safety reasons, for during the course of the investigation, facilitating the investigation, to get the driver and the police officer off the street or away from potential weapons or dangerous situation. Not any one factor would be determined in the totality of the circumstances.
Is it fair to say that your position is that under these circumstances there is always cause to pat down? If you're going to put the suspect, the person that you've stopped, in a police car, it makes no difference what the facts are, what the situation is. If they're going to enter the police car, they have a right to be, the police officer has a right to pat somebody down.
That's exactly the position that I'm taking.
It's an absolutist position, isn't it?
Once the placement of a police car is valid, lawful, legitimate, a pat-down is warranted. And it's only common sense that a police officer shouldn't have to place himself in danger.
And that would be true if he stops somebody, he or she stops somebody for a taillight out.
If he believed that placement to the police vehicle was warranted, legitimate, lawful, and the trial court determined that.
Yeah, but they do that all the time. And, you know, when you're on a busy roadway, they don't want to stand on the roadway and write you the ticket. They put you in the car, don't they?
And
not that I would know, you understand. I just heard that.
And if they're doing that, if this officer is doing that, and the motorist is not under arrest, has not been disarmed, he's not handcuffed, he has access to any weapons in his pocket, and the police officer is then making a call to dispatch, checking on warrants.
Yeah, I understand why they do it, but they do it routinely. So for any even minor misdemeanor, minor traffic stop, if they're going to enter the police car under any circumstances, a pat-down is in order and a warrantless search is authorized.
That is what the limit has to be placed on the officer's decision to place the motorist into his vehicle, not on the pat-down.
Well, how can that be a bright line? That's very subjective, isn't it? I mean, the officer can say every time, and maybe should, that I think the safest place for that person is in the back seat of the patrol car while I'm checking all these other things.
Well, if a motion to suppress, a hearing on a motion to suppress, the trial court could determine whether that was a legitimate lawful reason under the totality of the circumstances after hearing the evidence. Trial courts do it in motions to suppress all the time. They evaluate the credibility of the witnesses and the evidence and decide whether an officer's decision to do whatever, make an arrest, stop the vehicle, is valid and constitutional.
So we can't make any definitive rule. We've got to take every one of these cases one at a time.
And that's much of Fourth Amendment jurisprudence. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. But it would protect the police officer, and I don't think anyone would argue that a police officer can't protect himself by disarming somebody he's placing in such close quarters with himself. If he's got reason to do that, I think the police officer should be able to disarm in the limit.
Counsel, I think your argument about if the person is going to be placed in the rear of the cruiser is somewhat persuasive to reference the officer's safety at that point. The problem, it seems to me, is with the decision that we'll give you, as Justice Douglas has pointed out, you want an absolute rule with your own, that it's okay to do that at this time. If we have that, will that not be used, as I indicated earlier, to conduct this activity on a regular basis? And is it pushing our imagination too much to believe that in your community or my community or in any community, if it's the mayor or a prominent physician or a well-known housewife, they're probably not going to be asked to exit the vehicle. But if it's a person of color, the probability of being asked to exit the vehicle goes up. Or say the county prosecutor pulled over for speeding or a taillight out. Imagine how many motorists go by see the county prosecutor being patted down.
Probable cause.
Yeah.
I believe your concern is legitimate in this court, and the U.S. Supreme Court has addressed the potential use of pat-down searches, stops, things like that, and have held that as long as there is a valid legitimate basis for what a police officer is doing, even if he has a subjective reason that may be improper, as long as he does have one or more valid legitimate basis, it's not a bad act, bad stop, bad search.
But what's the worst that's going to happen to the officer if he asks for the license and the registration, goes back to the vehicle to check these out? What's the worst going to happen to him?
Well,
where is he in danger then? The worst is going to happen to him is the guy, if he didn't take the keys from him, may leave. Correct?
That's correct.
Now, if he doesn't have the man in the car, he has no reason to search him. He can find out whether these things are legitimate. And if he finds out they're not legitimate, that he's wanted for something, now he has a reason to pat the man down. He can then exit his car, take his weapon out of probably, if he's a wanted person, and have him get out of the car, search him, and put him into the police car. Correct?
I agree with you on the vast majority of stops. That's true. That a person, the driver, can remain in his own vehicle and the safety of the police officer is protected in just the procedure that you're suggesting. But however, there may be times when the police officer's safety and the safety of the driver are enhanced when the driver is placed in the police vehicle. You know, the narrowness of the road, things like that. The police officer may suspect classification.
Well, I agree with Justice Pfeiffer that it's almost mandatory that you search the person when you put him in the police car. Whether you have a reason to search him or not, just good common sense means I'm not going to put this person in the car unless I make sure he doesn't have a weapon and he searches him. It makes it almost mandatory.
And that's exactly my argument. The limit should be on the police officer's decision to place the driver in the car, not on the subsequent search. The scrutiny should come beforehand, just as you're suggesting. We should look at why the police officer decided to put the motorist in his own car. Are those valid legitimate reasons?
And could I ask about the next step then, the decision to pat down, and we know that pat down searches for weapons. If the officer did not, he claims that what got him interested in going in the pocket was he felt the defendant sort of pull away. Now, what about the effort, the decision to go into the defendant's pocket in light of the fact that there was no testimony by the officer that he felt a weapon?
That's true. He didn't even reach the area of the pocket. He just went towards it, and so about a pull back, and the officer thought that there might be a weapon in there. So in order to protect himself, he reached in.
He hadn't felt it.
He hadn't gotten there yet. And he didn't want to delay my exit feeling up, but he just reached in. But I think we'll kind of...
Thank you, Ms. Norman. Ms. Coley.
May it please the court, Chief Justices, other members of the court, counsel only.
If you've been stopped for a violation of the law, what reason would we ever have not to let the police officer make sure that he or she is protected during the course of a lawful stop, even if it's for a minor crime? Why wouldn't we let that happen?
Your Honor, this court has stated before that the police officer's interest in safety is a legitimate reason, and certainly there's no reason that any of us would not be concerned with the safety of the police officer. However, before intruding on the Fourth Amendment right against searches and seizures, there must be something more. Certainly there has been, let us assume, probable cause for the stop. There's been a speeding violation or a taillight is out, or any number of other reasons that the stop may have been occasioned. Certainly the officer is permitted to call for the license of the person to see that they're who they are and to assure under the Ohio Revised Code that they will show in court to answer to those charges. And the officer is adequately protected under those circumstances if proper identification is provided and there's no indication that the person is presently armed and dangerous or that there's been a violent crime committed. There must be something more before the officer is permitted to search. The United States Supreme Court in the Mims case indicated that ordering the person out of the car is certainly within the constitutional right, but that does not provide carte blanche for a search of the person without more.
There was testimony here by the officer of, a number of reasons that he assessed that he thought it important or for safety reasons to have the defendant in the cruiser. Maybe there is no disagreement here about what the standards are, but rather this is just a disagreement about what legal results should flow from the particular facts of this case. Is there really a debate about what the law is here, or is it simply that what the officer stated shouldn't have sufficed for putting the defendant in the cruiser?
First of all, there is a debate that what the officer said should not have sufficed for placing the person
in this particular case and these facts. The application of the law to these facts is in debate. But is the state of the law in debate?
It would appear from the proposition of law that the state would propose that there is some question whether validly, lawfully, and legitimately are the same thing. Those words seem to be used interchangeably. It seems to be the request of the state that any person validly validly placed in the back of a police cruiser should be searched for reasons of officer safety, which this court has already decided is a legitimate reason. Officer safety in itself is a legitimate reason. But validly is not the same as lawfully. The facts in this case weren't valid and they weren't lawful. There have been numerous court cases that were cited in both briefs for both sides to show that there must be something more. There must be a reasonable, objective basis, and that comes from the Terry case, a reasonable, articulable suspicion. That could be any number of subjective things that the officer suggests after the probable cause of pulling over the person for the traffic violation. Usually it's something like the obvious smell of alcohol, reddened eyes.
Counsel, let's break this down. If I understand what you're saying, through Justice Cook's question, this case turned on the review of court of appeals that there just there wasn't a reason to ask this motorist out of the car.
I don't believe the Court of Appeals went that far. I believe the court...
That's your view. Yes.
The law says that the motorist can be ordered out of the car.
Okay.
And I don't believe we presented that view, that he could not be ordered out of the car. Our question arises as to whether or not every motorist can be ordered into the car under U.S. circumstances, and then, of course, whether there can be a search incident to that.
So it's not out of the car, but ordering into the cruiser.
Yes.
Where this breaks down.
Yes, sure.
And that's where the Court of Appeals said there wasn't sufficient reason to put into the cruiser.
There was no reasonable objective basis for the search.
And that's where it turns. Now, I believe Justice Cook also asked a question about whether or not the pat-down went too far. In other words, this appears from what we have here in briefs that the officer did not discern anything that would indicate a gun or a knife or some kind of weapon. And wouldn't that be, without any refinement of the law, where the search, where the pat-down would stop?
Yes, Your Honor. Although he was ordered out of the car under him, then certainly the officer was within the rights to do so. He didn't observe any obvious lumps in the clothing that would have indicated that there was a weapon.
So to follow up on, again, what Justice Cook asked, under present statutory and case law guidelines, this was defective.
Yes.
On two levels.
Yes.
First of all, there wasn't a reason, a sufficiently articulated reason for putting this defendant in front of the cruiser. And secondly, the pat down never indicated anything that would appear to be a weapon.
Yes, Your Honor, the pat down itself exceeded any constitutional scope of any claim.
The Court of Appeals didn't address that.
Did no, Your Honor. One could assume or address those facts, and both parties did in the brief, but I don't believe they did.
Are you saying then that the police officers must have articulate reasons for placing someone who they have reason to stop, as in this case, into their cruiser? Isn't that something the police officers just can do through their own discretion?
Certainly, police officers have wide discretion in the conduct of their duties. Most of the cases on these issues for suppression or where searches involved show sufficient facts aside from the probable cause relating to the stop, such as inebriation, failure to produce a license, not being the person whom one says one is, or any number of other factors which show that something in addition to the initial traffic stop has occurred, which would enable the officer to detain the detainee.
So you are saying that the officer must have articulable reason to place an individual in his cruiser?
I think that is my belief. I think that they're put in there many times, but certainly even if the court were to take a position that a person could be placed in a police cruiser without any articulable suspicion of wrongdoing or present danger, those persons should not be searched.
But wouldn't it follow if the police officer has the right to place any individual that they have legally stopped for some type of a violation into their cruiser, then they also have the right to do a pat-down search for their protection?
Your Honor, yes, that is why we've argued so strenuously on this point, because it would provide carte blanche for every person pulled over to be placed into a vehicle for whatever reasons, whatever legitimate or valid reason, not equating to a lawful reason, and then be searched incident to that placement, and such violates the guarantees of the Fourth Amendment. And that's the position that the appellee is presenting today.
In this factual situation where the defendant, I mean, assuming all the steps, and I know that we have to make a great assumption to get all the steps leading to the pat down, but the movement by the defendant when the officer attempted the pat down could be, I suppose, deemed a furtive movement that would warrant a Terry search of his pocket. Would you agree? I mean, would it fit the category?
Your Honor, respectfully, I cannot agree.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, if someone were to place their arm on my chest,
yeah,
I would. So I can't objectively construe that as a furtive gesture, although subjectively, yes, it could be construed that way. However, again, we have instructive cases in the Supreme Court, the Dickerson case, saying that there has to be a plain feel. There was no plain feel. Certainly there was no plain sight. And this goes beyond what's permissible in a search. There was no reasonable suspicion of any other kind that there was any danger. The occupants didn't act furtively. All licenses and registrations were timely produced. There was just no indication beyond 6 miles an hour over the speed limit that anything had gone on. Therefore, the search exceeds the permissible scope under the Constitution.
So would you then agree that if he has good reason to have the person step out of the car and be placed in the police car, that he then has a right to search that person? For the officer's own safety, once he decides that this person should be put other than his own car, and he has good reasons and shows he has good reasons for that, then before he puts him in the police car, he can be the person can be searched for the officer's own safety.
Your Honor, my answer to that is in two parts. I agree that if there are good reasons, as long as those reasons are lawful, there seems to be a lot of dispute and play with words, again, valid, lawful, legitimate, and again, lawful is according to Terry. That's a reasonable suspicion.
Let's say you and I both agree that he had a lawful reason to put him in the police car. Okay, we both agree to that.
Yeah.
Now he does now then have the right to search that person before he puts him in the car.
Yes, Your Honor. If my understanding of lawful is according to the Evans understanding in that particular case, inappropriate identification had been produced, and the court indicated in that case it was lawful to put them in the police cruiser. That's my understanding of lawful.
Okay. And then he can search.
Yes.
Okay.
I know you've read the Court of Appeals opinion. What is Judge O'Neill telling us in dissent? Can you explain that? For instance, it sounds to me like he agrees with your position and dissented in the Court of Appeals. Almost sounds to me like he's telling us no traffic violator should ever be put in the back of a police car. Is that what you get out of the dissent?
I believe that's expressly what Judge said. I see I have 2 minutes. Certainly I can't deem to know the mind of the judge.
No, I'm not asking you to do that. What do you think he said? And what he wrote it. What rule of law would he have us write? Because he talks about, as I recall it, some policy court should review this or something, he said.
Yes, he was very strong on that point. I think the judge's remarks were directed to the sanctity of persons to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, and that the standard of reasonableness needs to be guided by the law as we have it. I probably can't go farther on commenting than that, but he does appear to find these intrusions significant in this case.
The first subheading under appellant's proposition of law number one says a bright line rule stating no traffic stop detainee may be placed in a police vehicle under any circumstances is not constitutionally mandated and is an unrealistic hindrance to police work. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
A bright line rule that no one may ever be placed in the police car. I would agree that a person may be placed lawfully in a police car and searched incident to that.
Now, do you think
that
the majority...
And there's no bright line rule that says you never may be placed in a police car.
Does a majority opinion in the Court of Appeals say what it seems to me that subparagraph of the proposition of law seems to say it says? Should you follow that?
Not exactly, but I think where the proposition...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can finish. Let me finish.
I think where the proposition that has been proposed is going is to, again, to dilute the definition of lawful, to make it valid, and to dilute the law. Such is not the law. It should not be diluted in such a manner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coli. Ms. Norman, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
The state's proposition of law in this case comports with the requirements of Terry. Terry allows a search reasonably could be managed in the same circumstances, would be warranted in the belief that it's safekeeper is in danger. And if a police officer has lawful, valid, legitimate grounds in the same thing under the Constitution's reasons to place the detainee in a vehicle, his safety is in danger just by virtue of the close proximity of that person in his vehicle and having not been defined.
Do you think the Court of Appeals majority decision places an absolutist rule that says you can never put a detainee in the car? Because you point that out very quickly on page 7 of your brief.
I think what the Court of Appeals says, unless the police officer has reason to believe that the person is armed and dangerous, they can't go pat down. They didn't address the propriety of putting somebody in a police car, which I think are two different analyses, but both require a pat-down.
And that to you is a bright-line rule. If they don't think that the person is armed and or dangerous, then there's no pat-down ever, you think the Court of Appeals says.
That's what I think it says.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.